I'm talking to Mark Richardson.
Yeah.
Originally, where are you from again, Mark? We met in London, but you're from up north, aren't you?
West Yorkshire.
West Yorkshire.
Huddersfield.
Okay. Huddersfield. And what brought you to London again?
Lack of work.
Lack of work. Okay. And how long ago was this? Did you come to London?
1981.
81. You've been living here that long?
Yeah.
Okay, but we met at a hostel. How did you come to be at this hostel?
Basically, it was a number of incidents that protracted around this particular situation, mainly...
This situation with your license, your taxi license?
That was one, and being losing the flat in South London. Both happened pretty much the same time.
Okay, where was that, your flat?
In Balham, SW12, Balham.
Okay, so you had a flat there?
I was renting one there, but in South London, the housing authorities don't do hostels. So that's why I had to move north to get Westminster or Camden to do hostels. You have to have like a B&B or a house share or flat share in South London, which means you have to have a big deposit, which I didn't have. Whereas at hostels, you don't need a big deposit.
Right. Okay, so that's how you came to stay at the hostel.
Yeah.
Tell me the circumstances under which you lost your flat. What happened?
The landlord, who was a friend of mine, he was applying to Wandsworth Council to have some alterations or improvements done to his property, and they refused him, and they told him he wasn't able to let the flat to anyone, not just me, anyone, until he met certain criteria, which he didn't have the funds to do. You know, he had to develop like a garden and stuff, which he didn't have.
Now, is he also from Jamaica?
He was from India.
Okay. And so you lose the flat because of that?
Well, that's right, I did.
And you'd been living there for how long?
2010 till probably about 3 years altogether.
2013?
Yeah, about 3 years.
So you've been at this hostel now for?
4 years.
4 years, okay. And so you lost your flat, that was in 2013?
Yeah, 2013-14. Yeah, around that time.
Yeah. And around the same time you also lost your...
My taxi license expired in 2014, November 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And I was advised that I could reapply in September 2015. By someone who I'd known through one of my best friends who worked within TFL organization.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, due to one or two incidents that arose in 2015, the 4 year waiting time, I took his word that was part of the criteria. I don't agree with that now,
okay,
but at the time I did. And I applied firstly in 2016 for my taxi license, which because of certain circumstances they had to reject. Not refuse, reject. So I wrote to them stating I would reapply in 2017 and not to invite me if they thought I didn't meet the requirements. They emailed me back stating, just call us as soon as you get your driver's license back, which I did. And within a couple of months, they arranged for me to have a meeting in, I think it was November, at TFL building. And they sent me out an information pack, which I did ask them not to, if the criteria wasn't going to be achieved by myself, which they knew all about, because I was quite upfront about the convictions, disqualifications, etc. So I thought that might apprehend me, but they told me to continue. In December 2016, 17, they refused my application. I appealed their administrative decision in January at South London Magistrates Court. The case was heard in March 27th in City of London Magistrates Court. And even though I wasn't 100% sure I would win, by I don't know, sudden fate, whatever, I did win. And TfL, the people representing them at the court, said they were going to abide by the court decision. They wrote to me confirming that on the 6th of April. And on the 9th of April, they wrote to me again saying my license was being prepared and I should receive it within 14 days. I also received a letter subsequent to that stating they've decided to grant my license. I was ill around the 20th of April, and when I came out of hospital, there was no license. So the 14 days had gone by then, and I called them and they advised me that they'd written to me stating I had to take a topographical test for my license to be continued processing. I took two tests. The first one was a bit rushed because within 4 days and become out of hospital without any time to revise or anything. They told me to come into their own office and take a test, which I took. I was 10 points below the pass mark. Anyway, they allowed you to take another one, which I managed to get a cancellation for the 31st of May. And I took that test and I passed it. They wrote to me in June confirming that and stated that they would continue processing my license. Contrary to what they were stating in April, that it would only take a couple of weeks to sort out my license, it's now been already a couple of months, and I'm a little bit frustrated because I'd made plans surrounding the decision whereby I wouldn't be in the hostel at this part of 2018, and I'd also consulted two or three employers, past employers, to recommence work. However, all the calls I've made to TfL, most have fallen on deaf ears, and they've just continued to pretty much stagnate my application and ask me to be patient because they're still continuing to process my license. Anyway,
you've already been granted the license.
That's what they wrote, told me. Yeah. They wrote to me saying they've decided to grant my license.
Right. So it's just a case of processing. So what's this about an appeal? You say?
They told me in July, late July.
This year.
This year. That 5 weeks after they confirm a successful DVLA check is the latest time to finish processing my license, which would have been about the 6th of August. Now, 6th of August, they told me that my file was handed over to a senior officer at TfL, and it was that person that was going to make the decision. I, myself, couldn't fathom that because the decision was already made in court. So I don't know what decision they're talking about. But anyway, the last bank holiday, the sitting advice called them and asked them to try and speed up some sort of update on my application, because obviously I'm not working and the people at the job centre who have been following this from the beginning of the year want to know why it's taking so long. They said they would consult the person as soon as they arrived back in the office the day before the last bank holiday and ask them to email me. That email never came. So after the bank holidays, I called them again on the Wednesday, and they just told me they would try to get in touch with that person and just stated that my file was not the only one in her tray or his tray, and just be patient. So rather than call every day now, I'm just gonna call once a week maybe. And I waited patiently and I called them again at the first week in September, and there was no change, and their systems were down. They weren't able to put me through to the appropriate department that had a power cut, apparently, they told me. So I called the following week, which was the week beginning September the 10th. I called on the Wednesday, which was the 12th, and they now did have an update, and they told me that my license had been recused. And I was sent a letter on the 10th of September, which never ever arrived, but they emailed me the contents, which stated exactly the same as the first one, which was a refusal back in December in 2017. I myself couldn't understand how they could do that, since if they were to object, which they said they weren't going to back in March and April, they only had 21 days to go to a Crown Court.
Object to the court's decision.
Decision, yeah. But they
and just to be clear, the court had ruled that you were entitled to a license?
They said they upheld my appeal.
You had appealed?
The administrative decision by TfL not to give me a license.
Right. So, and the court upheld your decision?
That's right.
And but still they're saying to you that... So basically they're saying they reject the court's decision. Basically.
That's the only way I can see it, but the court are now saying they are allowing the second refusal letter based on the fact that I was supposed to take a specific test. The only test they put in front of me, they wrote to me June the 16th and told me that I passed it. So there is a conflict in interest here, because the court are saying they are going to allow a second refusal letter because I failed the test.
When did the court say that to you?
Quite recently, within about two weeks ago, they emailed me.
The court. This is the magistrate's court.
Westminster Magistrates. I don't know where they get that information from.
Westminster Magistrate Court. Do you have a name of the person?
Yeah, it's Josephine. I can't pronounce the second name. ODJ or something like that.
ODJ.
It's like an African. Yeah. Something.
And
I emailed them back telling them that I had passed the test, but that's when the head administrator came in and saw what had gone on the previous day and instructed her staff not to respond to me. But by then they'd already let the cat out of the bag by telling me why they were allowing TfL the second refusal letter. But they won't. I've written to them telling them I had passed the test, but they haven't come back to me. They're just saying, any more information, you have to contact TfL, which I have done. But all they've done really is emphasize the fact that the senior officer has decided to refuse you, not going by the correct policy. Like, if they want to refuse the court's decision, they had 21 days. The deadline was back in April. They missed the deadline, so they should not be allowed to refuse me a second time. If they wanted to refuse, the opportunity was there for them in April, where they would have to...
Could it be the original conviction, fine? What was that about?
My disqualification?
Yeah.
They told me in the court, before we entered court, the reason I failed and they refused me was character. And they told me that was just because of I was disqualified from driving in 2015.
And why were you disqualified in 2015?
Because I couldn't get Camden Council to supply me with CCTV footage which would have proved my innocence. Someone else was committing an offence, and because I couldn't prove it wasn't me, and that person would not come to court. I know who he was.
But what was the offence?
It was like, it's just like no insurance.
Uh-huh.
an IN-10, as the police would call it, no insurance. But they're saying I was guilty of driving someone when I wasn't insured to drive, you know, technically, because someone else had told this person that he had to pay. I didn't speak to that person. That person in court said he'd never seen me before in his life. But because they have to hang someone, and the police would not believe me when I told them it's someone else, I pleaded with Camden Council to give me CCTV footage, but they said they only do that in the end of parking tickets. And this had nothing to do with parking tickets, so they wouldn't give it to me. I had sciatica at the time. I couldn't even get in and out of a car. But they still decided to believe the other person. I got convicted, and that was why they turned me down. So even though I wasn't guilty, the reason they turned me down still didn't stop the court agreeing with me that I thought I was fit to drive, and I proved my character in the court. So regardless of the disqualification and the conviction and whatever happened after that.
Are you prepared to say the name of your of the person who...
His name was Marcus, but he's of Asian descent. And
what's his last name?
I don't know, because he uses more than one name.
So he uses an alias?
Yeah, he does, because I only knew him because I think he was a cousin of the controller at one of the offices where I was used to drive from. But some people call him Marcus and some call him something else. I don't even know. But he's like Indian or Pakistan. I don't know.
And he... This Marcus, he was a cousin of the controller.
Sorry?
You said he was a cousin of the controller.
That's what they used to say. He was a cousin of the controller, the person, the company where I was working.
Which company was that?
West End Cars in London. They're not there no more, but they used to be off Shaftesbury Avenue.
Okay. West End Cars. And he has never come forward. You've asked him.
He was going to call. He said he would come to court so that it would clear my name.
Yeah.
But then he decided, one, he was in Vegas at one point with his wife, and then when he came back, he told me he wouldn't be able to because his wife didn't know what he was up to, and if he had to go to court, she would find out.
So what, again, just to be clear, he was the one driving your car at the time?
No, he wasn't driving, but he was the one that was stating to a prospective customer to drive that he had to pay £20 to go to Camden or Haverstock Hill. I didn't mention anything about money because I know that's how you get in trouble. He mentioned it. I didn't know he mentioned it. But when the police stopped my car and spoke to him and spoke to me, he said he'd been told he had to pay 20, but it wasn't me that said it. It was.
Who was driving your car at the time?
I was a rented car. I was driving the car.
Okay.
But I was just, the only reason I was driving that night was because he was disqualified from driving. He couldn't drive. And he told me he wanted me to drive him around, and then about 5 o'clock in the morning, when I'd finished dropping a couple of my friends, drive him to, I think it was Hackney or somewhere that he lived, which I was going to do. So all I'd been doing up until then was driving him. And then he told me to drive in front of his friends or whatever, an associate.
Just had a person.
Yeah. But this little person was drunk. And when we got to court, I had a video of Marcus to show him, and he just said he couldn't remember, and the judge just summed it up and said, isn't it, would it be fair to say, because there'd been two adjournments and this had gone on for like 7, 8, 9 months, that at this moment in time you cannot, your memory is not as it should be for you to be able to remember. I was shocked when I showed him the picture. He said he couldn't remember the person.
Who said he couldn't remember?
The person in court, the Crown witness,
said
who was in the back of the car.
Said he couldn't remember.
Remember the picture of never,
it could Marcus?
Have, yeah. It could have been Bugs Bunny and he wouldn't even remember. You know what I mean? For all he knew. So he said he wouldn't remember whoever it was. Yeah, if I had to cross-examine him myself. I didn't have legal representation. But he said whoever he was, he wouldn't remember. Yeah, if it had been his own mother, he would have remembered, wouldn't he? Of course he would. So, but that was a technical thing. We fought it. We got the police involved, got them to check places where he was and stuff, but they didn't seem interested. They just wanted to hang someone. But that came and they went, and I just thought, well, okay, if I wait another year, I'll reapply for my license. But then...
you came up against this other stuff.
Yeah.
You came up against this other stuff. Yeah, when you say we fought it and stuff. When you were getting support?
I had a solicitor who wanted to speak to Marcus. But I didn't know if it was a good idea, simply because of all the ramifications that go on, and people, you know, but like, okay, I was renting a car at the time, but because he said he didn't want to get involved, I just thought it would have got a bit nasty and stuff. So I just thought, if he's not going to do a decent thing and come to court and alleviate the situation for me, then karma will take care of him at some point. That was my philosophy. I just thought, okay, I got bigger fish to fry. I haven't spoken to him since. Yeah. All the people in Camden who knows where he used to work from, they all know what happened.
Mm.
And like I say, the solicitor, I could have got him to subpoena people to come to court, but then they would be hostile witnesses because they're his friends.
What's the name of the solicitor?
I don't know, but I've got the paperwork downstairs.
Okay. Because I want to talk to him at some point. All right. Let me say on the record, I think you've suffered extraordinarily at the hands of not just the system, but people like Marcus, who their understanding of the word friendship seems to be very limited.
I was doing him a favor, driving him, you know, because he was disqualified.
Yeah.
And now he's put me in a position whereby he knew I was going to be applying for my license, my taxi license. He has no interest being a taxi driver.
The guy, he's not a taxi driver himself.
No, he just picks up people and touts and stuff and takes people to, all these West End clubs, you know, whatever, and gets commission from girls and stuff. But he never works for office or anything like that.
Okay.
But he knew I was applying for mine, so he should never put me in that jeopardy, which he did.
Yeah. And the friend that you were helping him out, he's also Indian? He's Indian?
Well, the person who was in court?
Yeah.
He was a white guy.
A white guy.
Yeah. He said he'd been out in Leicester Square.
Yeah.
Having a drink, and he must have couldn't get a taxi. He said he was walking up Charing Cross Road, and then he must have been walking Charing Cross Road, Oxford Street, Tottenham Court Road, and Tottenham Court Road is where I was.
You don't remember his name?
Yeah, I do know his name because it was on the police report.
What is it?
I can't remember because it's like
you don't remember. That's
it's an East European name or something, but I can't pronounce it.
Okay.
But it's written on. I've got the papers with his name on.
Okay.
If, you know, if
let's stop here.